And of course, our special guest, Mark Pitstick, back with us. His latest work, of course, Soul Proof, Compelling Evidence That No One Really Dies, and Radiant Wellness, A Holistic Guide to Optimal Body, Mind, and Spirit. So we'll be back with Mark in a moment. Later on, we'll take your calls on this interactive portion of Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. George Norrie back with you. Mark Pitstick back with us, a master's clinical psychologist, holistic chiropractic physician, webinar workshop teacher. Now, he attended theology school, majoring in pastoral counseling, was a suicide prevention counselor. Dr. Pitstick directs the Soul Phone Foundation, founded the Greater Reality Living Groups, is a research assistant with Gary Schwartz's group for the Soul Phone Project at the University of Arizona. He has been a board member of HelpingParentsHeal.org for 5 years. Mark, thank you for all the things you do, by the way. You really help people.
Well, it's an honor and a pleasure, and good to talk with you again, George.
Looking forward to this. And let me ask you this just for a bit. Suicides seem to be increasing ever since this COVID situation. What recommendations might you have for people who are locked into their homes, still depressed over this whole situation?
Well, that's a big question, George, and probably three shows in itself.
Probably.
Dr. Schwartz and I address it in our book, Greater Reality Living. There are about eight different factors that come together to increase the suicide rate, which, as you know, is now the number one cause of death in teenage girls, and it's got to stop. Also, I have an article on my website, soulproof.com. I think it's article number 4, when you are considering suicide. And in that, then I share all the different causes and holistic solutions for those causes.
You know, it's just a time where people just need other people, I think, too, don't they?
That's one thing.
So what's new with you?
Well, you just read it. I mean, wait till you hear the news and your listeners hear the news. It probably what most people have been saying is, oh, my God, I never thought I would live this long to hear this news. But it's out there in two big things. We won't be coy about this. Number one, we have now definitive scientific demonstrations that life continues after bodily death. That statement can never be made, George, accurately and responsibly before months ago.
That
and it's based on the work of Dr. Schwartz, University of Arizona. So again, definitive scientific demonstrations based on 6 experiments over 1,500 sessions yielding over 1 trillion bits of data. However, being the true scientist as he is, he's not ready to officially announce until we do 2 more things. Probably as we speak, he is writing version 2 of a paper to be published in a peer-reviewed scientific journal. And then secondly, we just got the equipment in this week to send to 6 different universities, institutes in the country who will replicate his research. So that's the gold standard for all this, but that's huge news. And then the second statement is that through this research, we have demonstrated communication with post-material persons, which is our term for those who have died. They're still people, it's just they're not in the material world or in the post-material. Big, big news, and again, based on university-based scientific studies.
When he's ready, get him back on with you, would you?
I will. Yeah, we have to get him through a few things first. He's so, so busy and so much going on.
When you wrote Greater Reality Living with him back in 2018, I believe, right?
Right.
That book's pretty compelling as well. Now, how did you and Dr. Schwartz hook up?
Well, he was the chairperson of Eternia, Eternia being the group started by John Audette and Eben Alexander, attempting to merge science and spirituality, and I was the vice president. In our meetings, we noticed we were so much on the same wavelength. For example, Dr. Schwartz, for years, had used this analogy. If all the light and energy that exists in our world, and fundamentally that's the best understanding of what's going on, you understand we're not really separate and solid beings. So if all the light and energy going on in our world were the height of the Empire State Building, the heights that the average human could perceive with their 5 senses would be the heights of a coat of paint. I mean, it's just a shocking metaphor. And I was using from Lynn McTaggart's book, The Field, based on interviews with quantum physicists, this analogy: if all the light and energy exists in the world were the size of Mount Everest, the portion the average human can see would be the size of a golf ball. So it was apparent that we were kindred spirits. I interviewed him on my show at the time, asked the soul doctors. And the real turning point, though, was when he and his team at the Laboratory for Advances in Consciousness and Health in Tucson were doing a sound experiment. Now, if you can picture this, they have a soundproof booth like audiologists use for hearing tests. It's wrapped in copper foil, so it's effectively a Faraday cage, minimizing electromagnetic field. It has a vibration dampening floor, and it's in a room without heating and cooling ducts, so it's relatively impervious to all sorts of variables. Inside it is a huge microphone with a 3-foot diameter plexiglass shield, capturing, first of all, the control group. He does control groups for everything. It's a control, nobody's in the room, dead silence, what you would expect. What you see on an oscilloscope is like a flatline EEG or EKG. Then one of his human assistants would go in the booth and just whisper 9 words, set at a cadence, 1 word every 1 second, and the oscilloscope would register these words. Then they had one of the post-material persons come in and do it. The same words, only this time they were shouting, they were yelling, because, hello, they're in another dimension. And sure enough, the oscilloscope registered the same 9 patterns for each word, not as high an amplitude as a human, but definitely highly statistically significant. And those 9 words you ask, and when I heard these, I got goosebumps. If I had hair on my head, it would have been standing up, and that's how I knew I needed to contact him. The 9 words were speaking for these post-material luminaries, the A-team they've worked with for a number of years now. They were saying, we want to help you heal your world.
Wow.
So I called him. We were getting ready to go to Arizona for vacation, and I said, hey, I'm going to be in the area. Or if you want to have lunch, he said, by all means. At lunch, he asked me if I would be the spokesperson, the voice for the project, because he's deep in the weeds of scientific research and writing papers, et cetera.
I got to tell you, it's remarkable, Mark. And I know you can't tell us exactly how this definitive proof has come about, but can you tell us a little bit about the method he used?
Well, first of all, he has used 7 different methods, and this might get a little complicated, but I think we can do a good job of it, and it's important. So first of all, before I answer that, though, let's drop back to, I want your listeners to understand, this is not just some false claim. You know, we live in a day and age where apparently claims can be made whether there's factual basis for it or
That's
not.
That's a good point. And it runs on social media, and it's all over the place.
Oh, yeah, and people have gotten used to it, and they've lost hope, I think. They've lost trust. So Dr. Schwartz just finished a book with an attorney, Alan Borey, and it's called The Case for Truth, Why and How to Find Truth, and that's available on Amazon, The Case for Truth. Secondly, he is finishing a book now called Extraordinary Claims Require Extraordinary Evidence, which was a statement by Carl Sagan. And so throughout this, we are very aware that this is an extraordinary claim, you know, scientific demonstration of life after death and communication with these. I mean, you've heard all sorts of people come on and make claims over the years.
Oh, yes.
But it's important that people know this is real, because I'll give you an example. Every day I get emails from people around the world, and sometimes they're just heartbreaking, even with everything I know. I got one the day before Father's Day. And a bereaved mother wrote, I bought your Greater Reality Living book for my husband for Father's Day. Our son passed on 2 years ago.
Oh, geez.
And I thought it would be the most hope I could give him. And, yeah, I'm like you. I read that. I was like, oh, my God. You know, I mean, what Father's Day? You know, you want to see your kids. You want to have a party, a celebration, cookout. He's getting a book to give him some hope that he'll see his kid again, and death is not the end of life. She continued, she said, the research you and Dr. Schwartz and others are doing on the Soul Phone Project is the only thing that's kept us going the last 2 years, the hope that someday we'll be able to have contact with our son again. And so that's why we work, sometimes way beyond what we should. We don't have a balance. The other thing I want to share before I get into the various ways we've measured the presence of spirit and their signal is the credentials of Dr. Schwartz for your listeners who don't know about him.
And he's been on a couple times, by the way, Mark.
Yeah. This guy's a genius. First of all, he had two near-death experiences when he was a little kid, and I think that opened up his central nervous system sensory filtration device. Evan Alexander and I were discussing this over dinner, and we agreed, me as a doctor of chiropractic, he is a neurosurgeon, that 95% of what the brain does is inhibit sensory input. That is, if we could perceive everything that's in the air, radio shows from China, for example, we would go crazy. We'd be so bombarded we couldn't function. And so there is this control valve to filter out so we only see, hear, feel that which we need to function. Well, perhaps Dr. Schwartz's valve opened just a little so he was able to perceive more. Well, it worked. I mean, his bachelor's is from Cornell, his master's in clinical psychology from Harvard, PhD in psychophysiology from Harvard, assistant professor at Harvard, tenure professor at Yale. I mean, you know, he's that overachiever that makes the rest of us look bad. Not only that, and I still find, I mean, we've been working together very closely for 4 years. I still find out things from time to time, like, what? You never told me that. For example, he co-founded with two other doctors the field of behavioral medicine. I mean, that's huge.
It is huge. And he doesn't really try to get a lot of publicity doing these things.
He's very caring. He's very loving. He's like Raymond Moody and some others I've met over the years. Such intellect, but also such a heart and humbleness. I mean, he's published over 450 scientific papers. That's an ungodly number. Almost nobody has. So given that, your listeners understand, you know, this is not somebody that had a little lab in his garage and is throwing out some unsubstantiated statements. Given that, let's dive in. Again, over the last 12 years, he has measured the presence of spirit. All along, he's been working to have a commercializable device. The goal is to, if someone can afford a cell phone, they can afford a soul phone. And the term soul phone is an overarching term for four different devices. First, the soul switch, which we don't anticipate to be a commercializable device. That is, allowing yes, no, binary responses from people living in another realm. However, once we have electronic switch and the work has begun on it, then it'll be a relatively simple matter, electrical engineering task, to pair about 40 of these to create a soul keyboard. Now, the first one will probably be 4 foot wide and 3 foot deep. However, it should allow us to type and text with those living in another dimension.
And receive answers.
Yes. And that will be the greatest quality and quantity, then, of input from these postcoital luminaries that we've had to date. I mean, Dr. Schwartz is one of the original evaluator of mediums. He's worked with the best of the best. And he knows that even the best have down days. Sometimes they're tapping in the monkey mind. And so we can't, you know, they may be 85% accurate, but they just get bits and pieces. So having this soul keyboard then will give us such a great influx of information and then allow us to move on to the last two devices, soul voice, like we're doing now, and then soul video if we were on Skype, Facebook, or Zoom.
With the other side?
Yes.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, well, it's already been demonstrated, the possibility of it. Let me...
And do they look like what they were on this planet when they were alive?
That's a wonderful question. And the answer is that they can manifest as needed, as they want, depending on the occasion. We first heard about this through near-death experience. You know, so many people would say, okay, my grandma passed 30 years ago. When I die, is she going to still look like my grandma? How do I recognize her?
Exactly.
And the answer is that as beings of energy, light, information, they can manifest in different ways depending on what they want and who they're dealing with. So grandma will appear as grandma when a person first passes on till the newcomer gets used to it. Well, likewise in these experiments, for example, one of the people they've worked with is Albert Einstein and David Bohm, who is a contemporary of Einstein, Princeton mathematician and physicist. And so these guys appear with the same tweed jackets and vests and pipes, and those are the questions. You know, you guys look like this all the time? And they said, we are historical energy systems who can manifest as desired depending on conditions. Historical energy systems. So the experiment that I was referring to for vision, Dr. Bohm said to Gary through different mediums, and so it's important to know that he has about 10 different mediums who will come up, and we're talking, you know, the best of the best, the Suzanne Giesemans and so on, George Anderson. They will give him information independently, and it's the same information, which increases our inference that it's accurate.
Have these four vehicles been implemented or tested, and have you witnessed that?
Right now, what we have is the soul switch, and that's what's given yes or no, and that's what our seven experiments have used, and they're being written up for the second journal article. The first one was in the journal Explore, and listeners who want to see the abstract can visit sciencedirect.com, type in Gary E. Schwartz, and the abstract from this article will come up. So far, no, we don't have working soul voice, soul video, or even a soul keyboard, but, you know, we're working toward it.
Well, how does he know that those will work?
Great question. I love you, George. based on all his experiments, so, for example, visual images, Dr. Bohm said through these mediums, we, that is, those living in another dimension, are visible to the human eye, but the brain can only process one or two frames per thousand. And as soon as I heard that, I thought, oh my God, that explains the frequent report that people will see a bereaved loved one in their peripheral vision.
Right.
But then when they turn to see them more directly and the brain kicks in, the brain with all that filtration mechanism, the brain says, no, nothing is there, when in fact they glimpsed them. So Gary took this information and ran with it, of course, and got a very expensive camera that takes 60,000 frames per minute. Put it against the shooting against the black wall, and so the control is what you expect, pure blackness. Then one of the mediums would invite an A-team member, one of these post-material luminaries, to stand in front of the camera and move around because their motion was captured. He then had a PhD software programmer from India. This woman was a genius, and she developed proprietary software to detect anomalous frames. That is, most of them are going to be black, but we were looking for that one or two per thousand that showed something. And indeed, there were a number of images that were blurred, white, smudged, movement. And when the software picked these out and put them together, it was a rough video, very rough, and we knew that that was the precursor of the soul video.
That's exciting. Mark, stay with us. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and talk more about this incredible work by Dr. Gary Schwartz and what you've been doing as well as we talk about the other side. Definitely want to ask you about reincarnation when I come back. Will they still answer that soul phone if they've already reincarnated? Think about that. We'll be back. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, back with Dr. Mark Pitstick as we talk about his work with Dr. Gary Schwartz. Their book together is called Greater Reality Living. They also have soul proof out there, compelling evidence that no one really dies. Now, what about reincarnation, Mark? Let's assume people do reincarnate. If they have, how then can the soul phone reach them if they've already reincarnated and they're human again?
First of all, George, I've given a few interviews about this, and you're the first one to put that together, so that's why you're the man. Secondly, two quick things before I answer that. You know, over the break, Harry Chapin's classic song, Piano Man, it reminded me of seeing him in the 70s live and how much love that guy brought to the show. And this is the sort of thing, by the way, that we look forward to in the future once we have Soul Video, is having webinars given by inventors, scientists, responsible leaders, entertainers. How'd you like to see Harry Chapin give a virtual reality?
Oh, I would love it. That, by the way, was Billy Joel who was playing that
Billy
version.
Billy Joel. I'm sorry. You're right. That is.
That's okay.
Okay. And then the second thing is important for listeners to know that right now we, quote, only have scientific evidence for certain for presence of spirit and their communication. So the things I'm getting ready to talk about now are inferences, informed inferences based on the collective clinical, scientific, and experiential evidence. Having said that, to answer your question, number one, I trained with Brian Weiss for a week 20 years ago to do past life regressions. And in his opinion, based on his research, he said the average human will reincarnate about after 200 years. However, yes, there are some cases that appear based on good evidence, people like Ian Stevenson and his predecessors at University of Virginia, it looks like sometimes people do come back more quickly. Second thing, before I can answer this, is about the concept of multilocation. That is that our energy manifests not all in one place. Maybe only 20-30% of our energy needs to be available for an earthly incarnation. Michael Newton, author of Journey of Souls, Destiny of Souls, founder of Life Between Lives Therapy, found this in tens of thousands of cases that we indeed have that possibility. We had an 18-member meeting a couple years ago, and I was allowed to ask any questions I wanted. Usually our interaction with them has all been about the technology. Well, one of the questions I asked was about multilocation, and I said, can you guys be in more than one place at the same time doing different things? And one of them chuckled through the medium and said, yeah, you might say that. And I said, why? More? 5, 10? And I felt like I was running an auction. Anyway, and keep in mind, we're dealing with Carl Sagan, Nikola Tesla, and Albert Einstein, that kind. It ended up, they said, 50 to 100 different activities at the same time, different kinds of interactions. So given all that, theoretically, yes, it's going to be possible for those who have already come back to Earth. Keep in mind that's only 20-30% of their energy. The rest is home base, heaven, other parts of the infinite field of possibilities. And so possible for them to detect that request and come through and have that communication.
Mark, can you imagine this technology hooked up to this radio studio with us interviewing people who have passed on a radio program like this?
It's quite likely going to happen in the future. They have assured us. One of the questions I wrote, I asked was, will you all be willing and interested in giving webinars? And the medium involved started laughing. She said, they're pushing each other out of the way to be first.
That is absolutely stunning.
Yeah, and we share this in the book, Greater Reality Living. And Tesla said, if you think I invented some great things while I was on Earth, wait till you see what I've been cooking up here.
I love it. I love it. What is it technically that will allow us to do these things you've just mentioned?
And I'm sorry, what is it technically?
Technically, what is it? You know, we know that, it's about energy and everything else. But what is it technically that allows us then to be able to reach the other side with a soul phone or the soul video?
Okay, yeah. Let me drop back a notch before we do that, and to help listeners understand that those who have passed on are not so dissimilar from us. It turns out the only thing they lose is this outer shell, what we call the Earth suit in our kids' book, The Big Picture of Life. Dr. Schwartz estimates that over 99% of who and what we are continues on. We have a whole list, the memories, preferences, sense of humor, intelligence, etc. So that's one big reassurance for those who have, quote, lost somebody. Number one, you didn't really lose them. You'll see them again. But secondly, they are very much intact except for this old overcoat we wore, for a while on Earth. So I'll give you some examples. One of the first experiments that Dr. Schwartz and his team used was measuring the electromagnetic field of them. So it shows they have electromagnetic field just as we do. And I'm sure your listeners have heard speakers talk about that from our brain, from our heart. From our heart, our electromagnetic field can go out 20 feet or more. So they have that. Secondly, they have physicality, and we know that from a couple experiments. There is a device called a dynamical interferometer, who makes these names up, to measure micro air movements. Basically, it's a motion enclosed area, so no motion, no air movement can occur. It's very tight. But there are sensitive sensors inside, and control is nobody's in a room, nobody's asked to enter this chamber, and flatline, nothing. Then one of the 18 members is asked by a medium to enter the chamber and pass their hand through, and immediately the sensors start showing air movement. Well, based on laws of physics, for those air particles to move, that means something was introduced to move them around. So they have physicality. Secondly, they have light. I'm sitting here looking at a photo of a device called the silicon photomultiplier. It's a $50,000 piece of equipment, basically a box within a box within a box, about the size of a suitcase. And inside is a very sensitive light sensor that has to be operates enclosed in a minus 35 degree centigrade temperature. I mean, that's how sensitive this stuff is. It'll pick up one photon of light. Control is nobody's in the room, nobody's asked to enter this chamber, and the computer, all the instruments show flatline, nothing. Then one of the mediums will ask one of the 18 members, one of these deceased luminaries, to enter the chamber or pass their hand through. Immediately, there's a beam of light. Please move from left to right. It does. From right to left. Please leave. Please go back in. It's like clockwork. However, this thing's huge and very expensive, and there is no conceivable way to commercialize it. But again, these are showing the different properties of these post-material persons and how we can build the technology. In other words, these are all clues, early indicators. I mentioned the visual images. I mentioned the sound. Another experiment that showed their physicality was what we call attenuation effects. So there's either a laser beam or a photon beam on a 10-foot-long table, and it goes through a series of mirrors to amp up the signal, because the trick for all this, George, has been to decrease background noise and amp up their signal so it can be detected. Well, we know how long it takes for that beam to go from point A to point B. And then we put to, so control is nobody's in the room. Let's say it's 10 nanoseconds, and it's picking a number. Then a plexiglass hand is passed through, or a human hand, and that really decreases the speed, slows it down, attenuates it. Then one of the participating 18 members is asked to put their spirit hand, energy hand, new hand, whatever you want to call it, through the beam. And indeed, not as powerful as the plexiglass, but very highly statistically significant. You know, 0 point and like six zeros, which is off the charts for statistical significance. So again, we know their physicality. Finally, the last device, and this is one we're going with on the electronic soul switch, is their ability to close a circuit. Your listeners probably can remember in grade school, you did a simple experiment. You have a battery, you have a light bulb, two wires come off the battery. They both have to be touching the base of the light bulb for it to go on. Well, similarly, we set up a very sophisticated switch that these denizens of another realm can touch with their hand to close the circuit. And then it's called a picoammeter. It measures up to 1/1,000,000 of 1 volt. Detects that difference in the closed circuit in their voltage and their capacitance change. And that's then what we're using to create the electronic soul switch, which leads to the keyboard.
I got to tell you, Mark, this is probably one of the most exciting projects I've heard about in a long, long time. I mean, my gosh, if it works.
Yeah, and university-based and peer-reviewed published. So it's the real thing, and people can relax because you know what it's like. I mean, there's so much fear. I've worked with a number of people as they died. I was with them just before they died, and I don't care how much faith they had and what they were taught. When it comes their time, you know, where they're on the on-deck circle, they're asking questions like, hey, how do we know for sure? Well, now people can know for sure.
And there's a foundation called the Soul Phone Foundation, right?
Yes. Yeah, I direct that.
And that website, of course, we'll link up at coasttocoastam.com for you, Mark, for people.
Yeah, soulphone.org. I started that for two reasons. First of all, to educate people. I mean, you'd be surprised how hard it is to share this great news. And partly, you know, because we haven't done the full reveal on the Seeking TV shows and all that. And then the second reason for it is to provide funds, to raise funds for this research, because you've heard me talk about a $50,000 piece of equipment, a $30,000 camera. So the staffing and instruments are very costly.
Can you get a huge grant from somebody?
You would think, in the best of all worlds.
You would hope so. That's right.
Yeah, the thing is that most scientists think this is rubbish. Because, I mean, Dr. Schwartz has a team of colleagues from over the years, and they'll say, Gary, we know you. You know, we knew you at Harvard. We know you at Yale. We know everything you've done. We believe you. We find no flaws in methodology. However, there's just one little problem. We don't believe in life after death. So there has to be something wrong here that we can't pick up. However, it's getting better. Dr. Schwartz founded a couple of years ago a group called the Academy for Advances in Post-Materialist Science. To date, they have 250 university professors, scientists, and physicians whose assumption is that consciousness is primary, that it's not just a temporary byproduct of the human brain. And a number of them wrote a book together, and they have meetings, conferences. So it's getting there, but it's just slow, you know, human evolution.
Absolutely. You've written a book called The Big Picture of Life for Children, right?
Yes, Dr. Schwartz.
Just came out.
And a childhood educator, Cotta Mapes. She has a dual master's in childhood education and counseling. And some adults have said they could understand that a lot more than the book Greater Reality Living. It's wonderful illustrations. I'll give you an example of the power of it. Just last week, I was sitting with two of my grandchildren, one on each knee, 7-year-old and 9-year-old. The 9-year-old, Stella, is reading the book to John and I. And she finished the chapter. It showed an illustration of a grandparent passing and the families around the bed grieving. But grandma's up in the air looking down on him, you know, trying to let him know, hey, don't grieve too much.
I'm okay. Yeah.
I'm feeling a lot better than I felt for a long time. Well, Johnny turned to me and said, Grandpa, I don't want you to die. Oh. And I said, Johnny, I know, but it's part of life. Everybody does. We'll see each other again. It's not as sad when you know the good news that you don't really die. And Stella paused and she said, I'm still going to be sad, but just not as much.
Adorable.
And I thought,
oh, out of the mouth of babes, right?
Yeah, that's it. You know, this doesn't take away all the pain and sadness and grieving, but it definitely lightens it when we know that death is not a goodbye, but a see you later.
That's amazing. Well, you know, you miss, I guess that's the thing about dying. You miss the person physically, but it's nice to know that they exist thereafter forever.
Yes. And by the way, as far as physically, our biggest vision for this soul video is 3D holographic presentation. So you're seeing each other, you know, just like in a Las Vegas holographic presentation, Michael Jackson, whoever. It looks so real. Well, it's the next best thing to their human body being right there.
I'm an old news guy. Would it be appropriate, if this phone is working, to try to ask for interviews with people as notorious as Hitler just to interview the guy? I wonder if that's appropriate or not.
You're doing it again. Well, do we have time for my answer?
We'll do it when we come back after the break, and we'll take some phone calls with you as well, Mark. So that's what we shall do. We'll open up the phone lines, giving you an opportunity to talk with Dr. Mark Pitstick about The Other Side, Soul Proof, one of the books, The Other, Greater Reality Living, and then one for kids, of course, is called The Big Picture of Life. We'll be back in a moment right here on Coast to Coast AM.